Welcome to the show. This is our week 14 Derby results show and pick your poison week 15 first round playoff preview show. My name is Bov, joined by several members of the show on tonight's podcast. Of course, we've got Harvey here. Christopher, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Bov. How are you?
Okay. Okay. Hanging in there. We got the star of the show here. Scotty, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. Doing really great in some leagues, not so good in some other leagues. We'll get more into that.
Okay. Do you, other league you're doing really well in, does it rhyme with Oobly?
Something like that. Name changes like every day. But yeah, one of
yeah,
those.
Name, yeah, different combinations of G's and T's and several vowels and maybe a Y. So, all right. Yeah. You got the ring close by just for some good vibes.
Thank you.
Okay. Scotty's going to get his championship ring.
It's here.
Also, there it is. All right. Perfect. Also got Ross from Dose on the pod tonight. Ross, drive safe, brother. How are you doing?
Hey, man. Just really excited for the postseason. Love the show. Love the postseason.
Yeah, we do love the postseason of the show. I would love to be part of it, but alas, here I am just hosting this. And also joined on today's podcast by the commissioner of the show, Mark Santoris here. Mark, how are you doing?
Doing all right. I'm glad to be making a quick appearance here today.
Oh, goodness. Three of the five of us here today, not going to be part of the show playoffs this year. But let's talk about what happened in week 14. It was a exciting derby that had a lot of implications with the Monday Night Football results. We'll run through the results and what it meant here. We'll start with it's a franchise record 11 win season for the Dose franchise. It puts a nice exclamation point on a truly remarkable season, ending the year on a 9-game winning streak. Dose and a half men, 103.5. East Dillon Lions, 60.5. Ross, I guess just before we get into your playoff opponent, your thoughts on what you've accomplished over there at Dose this regular season?
Yeah, just awesome regular season. It feels great. We know that regular season wins don't matter in the grand scheme of things. We're looking to get that fifth ring. We hope we're good enough. That's all we're focused on now. But it's cool to win that many games in the regular season.
And for East Dillon, goes out with a whimper to fall to end the season 6-8. We'll get to that funeral here shortly. Next game was Los Cuervos, 92.5, All-Stars, 64.5. We're going to get to both of these in a few minutes with derby implications. Don finishes the season 6-8, and the Star franchise, it is a franchise worst 2-win season. Scotty, we'll hear from you shortly. Next result was Big Tuna ending the season on an 8-game winning streak. Tyler Menard finishes the year 9-5. Fly, Harvey, fly. Drops a second straight to end the year with 73.86. Harvey, just your thoughts on the conclusion of the regular season.
Glad it's over, Bov. We kind of struggled through the last couple games, but we got some new pieces that we're going to have fun with this week, and I expect everybody to be on their best behavior this week for Harvey.
Ooh, okay. The next game was Goomba Gang, 91, Lamar Nader, 86.5. Gustafsons were locked into a playoff spot. No implications there. They finished the year at 9-5. A nice season for the Gustafsons. And GG goes out with a win to finish 4-10. But we'll talk about what happened in the Derby here in just a minute, how it really came down to the wire on Monday Night Football. The next game, Hot Seats, 82, to finish the season 7-7. Sergeant Santor, 69.5. Mark, we'll get to the full season kind of recap for your team here in a couple minutes, but just when Justin Herbert goes down, is there just a sinking feeling? Like, does it feel inevitable at that point, or did you still have some hope going into Monday?
Not really. I mean, we'll talk about the Derby implications, which are separate, but my hopes of winning that game were pretty much non-existent. I mean, Geno Smith, one quarterback that I have, you know, has a groin injury and can't start. So I've got Drew Lock to look at. And then Herbert, who's been spotty all year anyway, goes out and gets me a whopping 1 point. The one thing I am proud of is that I pulled the guy who was on a couch a month ago, Joe Flacco, and he throws for 300 plus and three touchdowns. And I thought, wow, that was a pretty cool GM move. But it was kind of the last gasp for the season. So very poor ending of the season, finished with four games in the 70s or less, and it was just putrid.
The story of the season was, in a huge way, the QB injury. So it's interesting that you lose Herbert to the QB injury, but because of QB injuries, you end up with Flacco. And it's just kind of a funny way that happened. What do you got, Harvey?
One note on Flacco. You guys would not believe the agony that guy was putting Steve Bone through on Sunday. So that was not on my bingo card this year, Joe Flacco ruining my dad's morning. But shout out to Mark for the ad and the start.
Just a nice weekend at home in GB in December, right, Chris? Like, I mean, you would never have thought that old Steve would be sweating Joe Flacco quarterbacking the Browns with playoffs on the line in December. But here we are. And then the final matchup from week 14, Wide Wide West. And so I think Matt Gifford ends the year on a 4-game winning streak to finish 7-7 with a score of 142.5 in week 14. Cesar Armadillos were locked into the division win. Dana and Graham, nice season, finishing at 8-6, but absolutely blown out here by Matt Gifford. So, all right, let's talk about how the Derby went down. So, Mark, do you want to set any of this up, kind of like what it was looking like on Sunday for a while, and then how it actually changed quite a bit going into Monday?
Well, I went into the Derby thinking, you know, I was a 6 seed, and I thought, okay, you know, I'm way ahead of Wide West. I had a 50-point lead on them. So it was inconceivable to me that would even come into play. And in the meantime, I was just rooting for East Dillon to lose because I didn't think I'd have a chance to beat Hot Seats. But I figured as long as East Dillon lost, I was going to back into it and at least be alive for another week, even though my team's all beat up. And then what happens? We get to Monday night, and my lead of 50 points is dwindled, and I was down to a 6.5-point lead going into the game. But he had Mostert and Hopkins going, so I just figured, you know, no chance unless both guys get injured somehow. And then I hang on and hang on and hang on. And for three quarters, neither one of them scores a touchdown. And at the end of the third quarter, I'm actually still alive. And then Mostert scores two touchdowns. Hopkins scores a touchdown, and I get blown out. The 50 points I needed difference, they scored more than 70 more than I did. So I just got blown out of the water. So all I could do is say, well, better luck next year.
I think he was sitting on like 116, 118 for a little while there for most of that game. And then to end up with 142.5 with just the absolute explosion, like you said, in the fourth quarter was pretty insane. And so
I was happy just to make it to the fourth quarter. But then I switched my focus to the other game, which actually went down to the last 20 seconds.
Crazy. And so what happened was because Matt Gifford made up that, I think you used the word inconceivable point difference, he actually breaks the tie over you, gets the 7 seed. So now Matt Gifford and his score of 142.5 are no longer in the Derby, therefore opening the door for either Don or Andrew to take the last spot. Harvey, this one came down to the wire between Don and Andrew. The Dolphins get gifted several turnovers with a chance for maybe Tyreek Hill, who had been injured earlier in the game, to come back in and save Andrew's season. And it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, there were multiple things that needed to go Andrew's way at the end, and they did. Just he either would have needed like three Saquon catches on that trash final drive, or Tyreek to have like a 30-yard catch, I think. And they both got the ball back. Like, everything that needed to happen happened, and I was rooting for GG, man. I mean, we've had some people on the pod talk crap about that guy for 14 weeks now, and I've stayed strong. I was the number one GG fan, and to come up a point and a half short is just brutal. You got a kicker in your lineup with zero. And his Dolphins loss blew like the worst blown game in recent years, they said. I don't think we're going to hear from GG for a while, Bov.
Yeah.
I think it might be gonna a few be, months.
Yeah, I think we're going to have
GG. Rough way to go.
Andrew and Brandon kind of radio silent here for a little while as they try to put the pieces back together. So it's Don Gifford at the end of all this, last man standing to win the Derby, 92.5. And for Don, his score, I think he didn't have anybody playing yesterday. So he just is sitting there at 92.5. Like, all right, well, if Matt G's in the Derby, then he's out. And then once Matt got enough points, he got seventh, and Don's sitting there trying to hold off Andrew, and he does. Scotty, for me and you, it was over a long time before that.
No sweat.
Yeah, just at what point did you realize it just wasn't going to happen?
Well, I mean, the freaking Raider and Viking game was 0-3, and I needed Aiden O'Connell and Jacoby Myers to go off. We talked about the pod last week. That was my only hope, really, that connection there.
I remember three touchdowns being predicted by somebody.
Yeah.
A lot it of almost hype. Happened.
Almost didn't happen at all. But I had accepted this loss, honestly, in September when – Spencer hadn't seen me win a game for like a month. I guess that would have been October. So this was a long time coming. Ever since Rodgers tore his Achilles, it was just all downhill from there. I couldn't recover. I mean, Travis Kelce's off with Taylor Swift all year. Eckler is old and slow. Rodgers tears his Achilles. Daniel Jones tears his ACL. Those were my first four picks. I was the wraparound. I was just done for. Can't wait for the draft next year. But I got to be honest, Sunday was stress-free. I was out at this Santa wine tasting event, so totally stress-free. Wasn't too upset.
All right. Nice.
Yikes.
So final regular season standings. Dose 11-3, division winner. Big Tuna. We didn't talk about this before, but Tyler beating Chris actually clinched the 2 seed for Tyler. Takes the division. 3 seed. Sace Armadillos, congrats, Dana and Graham. 4 seed, 9-5, Lamar Nader, congrats on a nice season, Marshall and Dave. 5th seed, Harvey, 8-6. 6th seed, Hot Seats, 7-7, defending champs, find a way to make the playoffs. 7th seed, Wide Wide West, Matt Gifford, catches fire at the end of the year. 8th seed, Don Gifford, Derby winner at 6-8. There are 4 other teams. They will not be in the playoffs, and it is now time to cue up the sad music. And Scotty just talked about his team, so let's start at the opposite end, and we'll build towards Scotty. Let's start with Sergeant Santor. Finishes the season at 7-7, loses on the tiebreak to Matt Gifford after Giff puts up 142.5 to tiebreak poor Mark. Scotty, how are you going to remember this Sergeant Santor team?
I'm going to remember an epic team name reveal, poolside, mm-hmm. The Bone Backyard. He had the Beatles music going. He was banging on the table. We all loved it. Great logo, great emoji to be able to use all year. But yeah, I mean, Sergeant, I'll remember as a typical, I mean, my dad's had a few of these teams. He starts off hot, kind of gets some lucky wins, and then his team kind of gets exposed and isn't as good, and just not a big threat to put up a lot of points. So I'm going to remember, yeah, as a year he tried really hard, but just didn't really have the firepower to pull it off. And, you know, sorry to see Tony Pollard be such a bust. Man, I thought that guy was going to be a solid contributor.
Ross, when I say Sergeant Santor, what will you remember? Oh, we lost him. Okay, we'll see if we can get Ross back. Harvey,
it wasn't even the paper.
No, he said, yeah, out. Well, Harvey, let's throw it over to you. How are you going to remember this commish team?
Similar ways to Scotty Buff. And I hate to say it, there's no malice in these words, but honestly, it reminds me of Mark years recently in the past. You know, he's there fighting for a playoff spot, but it's a lot of 75, 74, 78 weeks. A lot of semi-lucky wins to get him in that playoff fight. So I don't know. I don't know if Kamish goes back to the drawing board with draft strategy, anything like that. Because, I mean, we all will agree that Sergeant Santor was an awesome team name reveal, awesome team name. So it's not just in the team name. I think Kamish has a little bit up his sleeve, maybe at next year's draft. And you got to think he's going to be back near the top of the league soon.
Ross, glad to have you back. When I say Sergeant Santor, what's going to come to mind as you look back on this season?
Epic team name. Amazing individual. Team just didn't make it there this year. Playoffs aren't the same without Sergeant Santor. Excited for him to make some front office changes, and we'll see him there next year.
All right, Mark, put this team to bed.
Well, I didn't think it was possible, but 2 years in a row, I have drafted a complete team of busts. Every player on my team didn't make their expectations. The running backs could have been great. None of them. Pollard was the worst, but all the other I had five running backs. None of them stepped up. Montgomery started off hot in the season and then got injured and never really took back his role from Gibbs. The quarterbacks, neither quarterback ever did what they were supposed to do. Herbert, he maybe had one good game. And Geno had maybe one good game. And that was my whole team. The receivers, I mean, nobody went off and had a good game. They'd get one touchdown and 10 points. So I just drafted another team full of busts. And it's no wonder. I mean, I finished the year with four scores under in the 70s or worse. I didn't deserve to be in the playoffs, and I would have just been fodder for somebody. So I look at this season, the way I remember it is I peaked with the team name, and I apologize to all sergeants in the world for what I did after the team name.
Well, we'll see the commish. Hopefully try to bounce back next year, but that's it. For Sergeant Santor, rest in peace. Let's go East Dillon Lions next. Kev and I, we watched Friday Night Lights over the summer for some inspiration. And boy, that's a show that goes back. Kevin Cox actually watched Friday Night Lights when it was airing on NBC back in the 2000s. Not a binge watch guy. He takes issue with that a little bit sometimes. But Harvey, let's start with you. How are you going to remember this East Dillon team and Coach Taylor and your boy Kev?
Yeah, I'll remember the first few weeks, Bub. You were peaking. I was all about East Dillon, Coach Taylor, Landry, Lance, all those guys. And then injuries, man. I mean, this might be crazy, but I think one could argue that your injuries, man, were as bad as All-Stars injuries, man. I mean, no JJ most of the year. That's killer. And one thing with you, maybe I'm crazy, but I think last year you had some kind of QB combination like this. where it's just garbage, like ugly.
Daniel Jones. Yeah, it was Daniel Jones. Disgusting. Yeah.
So kind of like I said with Mark, maybe back to the drawing board. Maybe don't rely on guys like Kenny Pickett, Will Levis, to get it done in the show. And maybe you come out with like a Jalen Hurts, Mahomes sucks, maybe Justin Fields, someone like that who's a little more good at football than the other trash you've been putting in there at QB the last 2 years.
Ross, how are you going to remember East Dillon?
Another epic team name. I'd say the teams that got eliminated all have amazing team names. I don't know what the correlation there is, but Bub missing the playoffs, Kev missing the playoffs. Maybe they got to break up. I don't know what's going on. You know, there's just a terrible GMing year. Their training staff just allowing too many injuries. So they got a lot of off-season work to do, but again, awesome team name for what it's worth.
Mark, our fates were intertwined in a funny way. I had a ton of injuries this season, but one that I think is easily forgotten is Mike Williams going down in week one and Justin Herbert not having him on your team. That totally affected the Chargers offense and their ability to throw downfield. So that was a rough one, but observing from afar, what are you going to remember about East Dillon?
Well, to pick up on what you just said, not only did it affect Herbert, but it affected Eckler, as Chris is well aware. And
oh, yeah.
Chargers in total were a major disappointment this year.
They suck.
So, yeah, it was all wrapped together. And you losing him and then having your quarterback issues and JJ, it's just, you know, it was unfortunate. You just had too many hurdles to climb this year.
It just was such an embodiment of the season to have him come back in week 14 in the Derby and then just get knocked back out in the first quarter. Just because, of course. Ross?
Yeah, I forgot to mention the plant, too. Your season was over.
Thank you.
You knocked over the plant in the draft.
That's what I thought you were going to say first.
Yeah, super unfocused. I'm focused on playoffs, but yeah, your season was over when the plant got knocked over at the draft.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Scotty.
By the way, the plant is fine. The plant is
okay. Oh, thank God. All right.
East Dillon is not, but the plant survived.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness someone is still alive. And it's not.
Can't believe I forgot about that.
Scotty, I saved you for last. We kind of had our season spiral together, and
yes.
We were allies, trade partners.
Yes.
Kevin and I talked. We made too many trades to try to salvage everything, but the one we made where we gave you Kirk Cousins, who would tear his Achilles 1 week later, was an absolute fleece to get Devontae Smith and Howell, but. So I wanted to save you for last because we were such good allies this year. But how are you going to remember East Dillon?
Yeah, you called it. The rest of the guys called it too. Injuries, man. But yeah, incredible trade partner all year. I was going to say the exact same thing about my team. I think there becomes a time where you got to not worry about winning a single week in the regular season. Think about the long term. Not because I feel like I constantly traded away and got 5% worse every time I did that, and I did that like 6 times, and so that just like all of a sudden you're like 70% as good as you used to be. So I think we both could probably learn a little bit from that. As amazing as dealings were, and amazing trade partners, I swear like we would come to an agreement within like 10 minutes. Just incredible. I'm gonna remember JJ just like deciding that he doesn't want to ever come back on the field. Like he probably could have came back weeks earlier. And he's like, yeah, I don't really feel like playing. So that's a bummer. The last thing I'll remember is, I think it was week 7, Fly Harvey Fly. Flew all the way down to LA to your hometown, was wearing Coach Taylor gear. Pretty sure he beat your ass like week 7, 118-70. So you can't let that happen if you are, you know, repping a certain team, have a certain sponsorship. So, yeah, next year. We're just looking forward to next year.
That is accurate. The final score, that was 118.5 to 70.5. So that was an absolute beatdown. So thanks, Chris. All right, rest in peace, East Dillon Lions. Next, GG, Goomba Gang. Man, the team name reveal. I don't even know where to start. The scramble on the day of the draft. It's just there's so much that happened with Andrew and Brandon's 4-10 team this year. Ross, why don't you start? Goomba Gang, what are you going to remember?
One of the worst seasons I've ever seen of any fantasy football squad ever. I think Andrew and Brandon are terrible. The only thing I'm going to remember them is them picking up some or random dude over Puka Nacua, and letting us get Puka Nacua. Who was it? I can't even remember who they
Will picked. Levis.
Oh, they picked dropped up Will. Lev. Or wait, no, they no, didn't I, pick up Will Levis.
I think they had Levis, and they elected not to use an ad. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah. And this is multiple weeks before Will Levis even got the starting job. But could have had Puka Nacua, could have saved the season. And it was Brandon that chose not to add Puka Nacua. So that's what I will remember them by. I will say thank you, though, Goomba Gang. We love Puka Nacua.
What a butterfly effect moment in week one to have all like those implications for Ross to be able to get Puka. And to see where Ross's team is and where Andrew and Brandon's team is, just unbelievable. Mark, how are you going to remember the Goombas?
Well, I think there's a lot of karma. And I think the fact that I haven't seen Andrew's face since the beginning of the season and they lost in the Derby by 1.5, to me, I'll remember that karma just came around. Sorry, guys. No, you know, no effort for the show, no reward.
Ooh. Well said. Well said.
That's so facts.
Scotty, how are you going to remember GG?
Yeah, the Will Levis versus Puka thing. I'll remember props to him for going all in on Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. His Dolphins, they weren't going crazy the first couple weeks. Eventually, he had to trade Waddle. Again, probably one of those situations you trade someone away, got a worse guy back, probably should have. Probably a short-sighted move. But yeah, maybe Prim got to him a little bit, kind of like Spence got to me. I know that Carson's been doing well on a half men over there. But yeah, Goombas just wasn't their year, not focused, not on the pod. Karma kind of got him.
All right, Christopher. Where do we start with GG?
I love GG, man. They were like family to me this year. I mean, every single week I came on. Actually, this past like week 8, I would say, because I was trashing on GG too. Then I saw the light. I remembered Andrew's my brother, one of my best friends. I had to come on here and defend him every single week against all the slander from Dose. And it was tiring, Bub, and it was almost worth it in the end. But I said it multiple times this year. Like, I'd pick GG, and then they'd lose, and they'd burn me. And after it's all over, I'm the fool. I picked GG. Let me down. I think what Mark said is absolutely true. I think at least come on the pod like once a year, twice a year. We're not asking anyone to do like crazy homework assignments or anything. I think we'd all agree the pod's very fun. So hopefully GG back on the pod, at least in a part-time manner next year.
All right. Rest in peace, Goomba Gang. And that brings us to the All-Stars. 2-12 this season. Spencer got to see one win, and he will have to wait until his first birthday, which is next September, for a chance to see win number 2 in his life. Mark, why don't you get us started with this one? How are you going to remember Scotty's All-Stars this season?
Well, I'm going to remember that the only win Spencer ever got was courtesy of me. And, you know, a little gift from Grandpa, if you will. and you know, it was so painful to listen to the pod week after week that I actually didn't mind that loss, even though it probably cost me the playoffs. But at least at least we didn't have to keep hearing about it for another 6 weeks. So that was good. The thing I'll remember about Scotty was, you know, whenever he makes a trade, I have to approve it, right? And so I'd be cruising along doing something else, and I'd get something on my phone, and I'd pull it up, and I'd go, oh wow, Elio's trade, you know? Oh, Scotty's making a trade. And then I'd look at the trade, and I'd go, man, he's trading away. It was always trading a little more for a little less. I mean, just yeah. There were like five of them, you know, and I just kept going, wow, what is he thinking? But there you go. That's kind of what I'll remember about this year.
Ross, how are you going to remember this All-Stars team? You were a big believer in the Derby. Big believer.
Yeah. Harvey just mentioned his GG and what he meant to him. That was star for me. Try to defend him. Week after week, I was like, he's going to win, blah, blah, blah. I had to even say things like Aiden O'Connell's going to throw three touchdowns to Jacoby Myers. And it just didn't work for me. So, Scotty, I tried. I hope you learn. I hope you're better next year. And I'm going to remember him doing the dishes on Thanksgiving. And another good team name. I think he'll be better next year. He's a good guy.
Chris, how are you going to remember All-Stars?
Honestly, Bev, probably the lulziest thing of all time. Like, all the storylines, but more specifically Spencer. The whole not winning the game for however long it was and coming on every week and talking about that. I was like, no offense to Scotty, the highlight of my season. It was just the funniest thing ever. You just couldn't make it up. And I just think in the end, the All-Stars, it was like a weekly conundrum for Scotty, because obviously, based on what he said about the Derby results, he knew he had no chance in hell. But Scotty's a very positive guy, and he would come on here every week and say, oh, Aiden O'Connell's the Derby savior, the connection with Myers, blah, blah, blah. He was saying shit like that all season, Bev. And kudos to him for sticking with it, coming on the pod every week, L after L after L after L after L, and being a good sport. But just one of the funniest things I can remember in the show.
Well, Scotty, you know, the show has a long and storied history, 20 seasons. You've been a part of it since the beginning. And you know, I'm looking through your yearly results year to year, and I see a lot of good seasons. And in fact, this is the first year that there's no star franchise in the playoffs since 2016. And so this is going to end a 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. So six straight years in the playoffs before this year, not this year. And I'm looking through and I see a 4-win team in 2004, the Fluffa Bags. I see a 3-win team in 2010, the Crush Stangs.
Oh God.
But there are no 2-win seasons in your entire 20-year run until this year. So 2-12, how are you going to remember this year's All-Stars team?
Oh, well, that's the thing. You know, usually we do this segment, and we don't remember what happened in prior years. But I will definitely remember this year, 2-12. Spencer, when he was born, couldn't get a win. Just absolute garbage team. It'll go down in infamy. So I will actually remember that. Going to definitely remember injuries, man. All three of my QBs going down, making bad trades. I did have the highest points against, I will say, by 80 points compared to the next second best. So teams did seem to go off on me, which did not help. But yeah, I'm looking at my draft board as my last point here. And the only players still on my roster that are good that I drafted are Travis Kelce and Cody Myers. Those are my as good as I got. So that tells you a lot about where this franchise ended up. Good players were shipped off, like Calvin Ridley, Javonte Williams, and other guys just sucked ass, like Cam Akers, Samaje Perine, Tyler Boyd. It was just, it's as bad as it can get. And just cannot wait for late August 2024.
Well, the Star franchise, plenty of time for some father-son bonding to really get back to basics next year, I think, and put a better foot forward in 2024. So rest in peace, All Stars. You know, I got to say, that's one of the more entertaining four teams didn't make the playoffs, sad music, RIP segments. I mean, with me, with the commish, with Scotty, with Andrew, I mean, it's
elite quite members.
We should elite have members. Our own. We should have our own tournament, Mark. Our own toilet bowl.
Yeah,
well, non-playoff teams.
They will be on the schedule. They will be on the schedule for the next all right. 2 weeks.
GG.
All right. Love it. All right. It is time to actually get to the teams that did make the playoffs. So we gave the final standings before we started all this. Just see real quick, at least in the three teams picking their poison, Dose made the semifinals last year. So this is 2 years in a row in the playoffs for Dose. Not sure what happened in 2021 with Dose Showman, but there were no playoffs that season. But it's 2 years in a row for Dose in the playoffs. Dana and Graham, they had a no playoffs for the last 2 years. So Dana's back with a division win. And Tyler Menard missed the playoffs last year too. So kudos to Dana, kudos to Tyler for winning their divisions after missing the playoffs last season. So Ross, you have the honor at 11-3. Interesting decision given the way that the bottom half played out this week. So we'll throw it to you. Who have you chosen as your first round playoff opponent?
I was muted, sorry. Dose and a half is what we are now. We have decided to select Cuervos, Mr. Don Gifford, as our pick your poison opponent. Wasn't an easy decision, but we're excited, and we are not gonna take him lightly. We're gonna do our best. We're gonna give it our all. Hopefully, we win that fifth ring.
Do you want to share what went into the decision? Was it tough? Did you have a couple teams in mind?
Yeah, we were actually going between the Cuervos and the Lamarnan and Nanators. And came down to just, you know, they got some injuries. Cuervos got some injuries. Scared of the Cuervos QBs, honestly, but I feel like they just got a little less balance across the board. So Don's a tough opponent, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Cuervos are the Derby winner. So, Mark, we do have the traditional 1-8 matchup. Any thoughts on the matchup?
I think usually I see the number one team being vulnerable because the Derby team is more like what Wide West is this week. And in that, you know, all of a sudden they come out of nowhere, score well over 100 points. I don't see that this year with Los Cuervos. So I think Dose is going to kind of cruise on in to the next round.
Love that.
Okay. Matchup number one is decided. That'll be Dos and a Half Men versus Los Cuervos. I think before last week, no one would have thought Don would be a playoff team, but here he is. I mean, 92.5 in week 14, respectable. So Don is really going to need those QBs to come through to have a shot in hell. So good luck. This is a formidable Dos team for sure. All right, so we don't have Dana and we don't have Tyler here. So Tyler is our two seed. So, Mark, we can have you reveal who Tyler has chosen for the next playoff matchup.
Tyler was actually going back and forth between two teams, mm-hmm. one of which was Los Cuervos. But the team that he has to select turns out to be Wide West.
Ooh. Wow.
Ooh. Ah.
Ballsy move.
So wow. I think we started Pick Your Poison. I think we started it in 2019. Does that sound right, Mark?
I was going to say 2 years ago, not three.
Okay.
I thought it was just 2 years ago. I don't remember.
Okay. I have it written down here that 2019 was the first season of Pick Your Poison format. But okay. That could be – I'm not sure. But anyway, I bring this up because Tyler, I think, in 2019 was the first team to pick his poison and lose his match.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think he picked Dana. I think there was a Dana team called House Lannistark that actually ended up winning the title that year. Chris doesn't need to be reminded of that, what happened in 2019 at all. So, but I think that happened. So, Scotty, this is interesting that Tyler is picking GIF. And, of course, everyone knows by now, Wide Wide West just went absolutely off for 142.5 last week. Your thoughts on Tyler picking the highest scoring team from week 14?
I think it's a ballsy move. I mean, there's going to be upsets. We know there's going to be upsets. I don't think Cuervo's going to upset Doe, so this one could be it. This could be the upset. I see where he's coming from, though. Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields, nothing to be scared about. Doesn't have a good third running back. The thing is, Debo has been coming on hot and strong, and they play the Cardinals next week. It's going to be a run fest, dump off fest. So, yeah, I mean, Big Tuna's going to have to put up big scores. He's been great. He's been able to do so. So I think he'll be fine. But definitely a little bit of a scary matchup.
Okay. Traditional 2-7 matchup between Big Tuna, NorCal Big Tuna. I'm sure Tyler would like us to add. By the way, Tyler, 8-game winning streak to end the season is unreal. I mean, if not for Dose's 9-game winning streak, we'd probably be talking even more about Tyler. And Matt Gifford quietly 4-game winning streak to end the season. So something's got to give here. And so, Mark, Dana is the third seed division winner. And who has Dana chosen as his opponent?
Well, Dana had three choices left over: Lamar Nader, Hot Seats, and Harvey. So Lamar Nader was the 4 seed, Hot Seats the 6 seed, and Harvey was the 5th seed. And he chose Harvey.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
Don't have to play your brother.
Yes.
Wow.
That's an ally. It looked
like you had your fingers crossed. Like you wanted this. Talk to us about being picked by the Armadillos.
I'm happy, Bub. Obviously they're scary. They've got some huge weeks this season. Didn't want to play Steve and Stev. They're way too ally for me. And I don't know, Lamar Nader, man, they're on a mission this year. They're crazy. I think Dana's coming off like a crappy 60-something point week. Harvey's coming off a really crappy 70-point week. So a couple teams kind of down in the dirt right now. But I think I kicked their ass earlier this year, and I could be clown of the season right now, but I think I can do it again. But I'm very happy to pick me.
Love it. So we've got the 3rd seed Sace Armadillos against the 5 seed Fly Harvey Fly. By the way, for Fly Harvey Fly, Monday Night Football, Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen, AJ in Seattle. So hopefully we have, you know, we had a really fun last night, Monday Why? Night implications in the Derby. And so That will be really interesting to see that one potentially coming down to Monday night with Chris and maybe needing a come from behind with Jalen and AJ. So, CMC, all right, Mark, that means, yeah.
No.
What did you say?
No, I'm just CMC looking
against the Cards.
Yeah.
That's
rough to see.
Yep, that's going to be tough.
All right, I take back everything I just said.
I mean, everybody knows Dana's been carried by the running backs. Kyren, it's that terrible Washington defense. Oof. And then, Achan's going to get the Jets, so that's a little tougher. But, and Mark, that means the last matchup is going to be Lamar Nader against the Hot Seats. So kudos to the Gustafsons. Had some really nice draft picks. These guys had not been in the playoffs since 2017. So that was five straight years of no playoffs for the Gustafsons. So good to have them back in it and have a really good year. Lamar Jackson's tough. He went crazy last week. And Hot Seats are the defending champs. Mark, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
You know, Lamar and Nader, when they won their game with no quarterbacks, that really impressed me. So I would never count them out at this point. Hot Seats, you know, kind of a mediocre week this last week. So I would kind of be leaning with the Gustafsons. I think this is their year to make some noise.
Yeah, I'd love to see it for those guys, seeing them back in the playoffs. And Steve and Steve, hey, they got a shot to defend their title. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. I guess the last thing is, I don't know when people will listen to this, Mark, but just how are we going to do the new rule change for this year with the extra roster spots?
I actually sent out an email this afternoon explaining it, and the way it's going to work is, as we agreed, we will have a draft. Well, first we will open up the rosters for these eight teams only, from 18 players to 20 players, and each team will be allowed to add two more players of their choice. The only restriction is that we will keep the limit on quarterbacks to four on a team. And we will use the same schedule that we usually use. Wednesday, tomorrow, teams will put in their requests for one additional player, and the priority will be one seed through eight seed. And then on Wednesday, the same teams can put in a second add, and the priority will be reversed, eight seed through one seed. All adds will be closed after the Wednesday add. So it's not like you can save it up and add later. It's make an ad tomorrow, make another one on Wednesday, and then you are stuck for the duration.
You mean Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wednesday and Thursday. So Thursday at 5 o'clock is pretty much the deadline.
And yeah. We don't need to back up kickers, right? It's just if I have the Colts kicker, I'm getting Colts kicker points.
Yes. We said in the rules that the kicker is the team's kicker. So if a kicker goes down, you automatically get their replacement, even if it happens in the second quarter of a game.
Perfect.
Wow.
All right. With that, any final thoughts, anybody, as we get ready for week 15 playoffs? First round, baby.
Excited. I'm heading to NorCal on Friday. I'll be there for the whole matchup. I hope to get some of that NorCal Tyler luck, baby.
All right.
Stev, all right. Also NorCal Saturday, and Harvey NorCal Friday again. Or I'm already in NorCal, but GB Friday.
Wow. Very good. Wow.
There are three Saturday games this week in addition to a Thursday, so everybody set your lineup and be aware of who's playing on Saturday. So, Mark, thanks for coming on. Thanks for everything. Great season. We'll have you on again to crown the champion, I'm sure. But otherwise, good luck to everybody in week 15. Me and Star and Kamish going to be just chilling, watching it all happen. So good luck, everybody. And we will be back next week to preview the semifinals.
Adios.
Good luck, everybody.
Good luck. Hopefully no injuries. No injuries.